What's up, champs? Welcome to another episode of the Short Shifts Fantasy Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Keeping Carlson and hosted by two guys. Well, I guess hosted by one guy and produced by one guy who sat Kotkaniemi here on Tuesday as he is going off. I am your host, Louis Ezekiel. We got John Reed on the ones and twos sharing my Kotkaniemi-related frustrations. And joining us as well, your friend and mine, Jeremy Versillo. Jeremy, how are you doing on a jam-packed Tuesday night in the NHL here?
Fortunately, I am not lamenting Jesper Kotkaniemi's performance. I am getting frustrated with another hurricane, but that's a little teaser for the end of the show. So listen to the whole thing to find out who I'm annoyed at.
Ooh, there we go. Absolutely. We've got some drama in the house. Actually, our lead story involves a hurricane as well, and let's jump right into it. Unfortunately, Andrei Svechnikov has a knee injury that will require surgery and will take him out of the remainder of the regular season and the playoffs. A huge blow to Carolina, losing a bunch of their offensive firepower. This is one of those kind of injuries that we talk about with some frequency where I feel like you don't really have a winner necessarily. We did see a Puljujärvi debut on the first line with Jarvis and Aho. Niesen and Teräväinen are both back on power play one, although those power plays have had a pretty even split. And, you know, I guess I definitely thought that Kotkaniemi would struggle without his most talented line mate. But he's put on a nice little show here today after being pretty ice cold outside of his ridiculous 5-point night. You know, it just is the way it goes sometimes. But, you know, overall, this is an injury that I think is just mostly going to be bad for your chances to get a win with Carolina goalies. I think it makes the power play weaker. And obviously it takes some of that firepower off that second line, I think, in most cases. You know, I don't think we want to judge too much. Obviously, they're having some offensive success here, finally, after scoring one goal over the past three games. But I think you would be hard-pressed to find anybody who's going to say, oh, yeah, Svechnikov's absence is definitely why Carolina is scoring goals here tonight.
Couldn't agree more. My big takeaway from this is that this just sucks for real life. I mean, Svechnikov is probably out until the beginning of next season with knee surgery, may never be the same player again. Carolina's on pace for 115 or so points and was a Stanley Cup favorite, and now their offense looks really thin. I'm just looking at their lines on GameDayTweets.com, and that does not look like a playoff lineup to me. But clearly it is. They've got good coaching and good defense and some solid goaltending. Got to imagine Puljujärvi gets the top six spot, but I'm not sure I'm that interested in him for fantasy.
Yeah, it's something that we talked about when he first was traded over there. And, you know, he is kind of a reclamation project in a way. Now, some of it is, you know, he wasn't able to get this sort of deployment with any frequency in Edmonton. But yeah, I think, you know, he's a bigger player. You know, Dabber's heuristic with this is, you know, always sort of takes those bigger players, those power forwards a little bit longer to develop, closer to like that 400 game breakout threshold, I think is where he puts it. So it's an interesting spot for him. Obviously, it does give an opportunity for some of those younger players to step up. If the Canes do have a cup run in them, it's going to have to be because guys like Jarvis, guys like Kotkaniemi, you know, guys like Natchez can take things to another level come playoff time. And I'm not sure if they are capable of that necessarily. I did see on Money Puck they do still have the best Stanley Cup odds, but I don't know if that's been updated since we got, you know, they went out and got that second opinion today, but it was more of the same bad news, unfortunately, for Svechnikov's kind of future here. Another pretty significant injury, not season ending, but of the 4 to 6 week variety over in Colorado. Jeremy, why don't you tell us what's going on over there?
Arturi Lehkonen has a broken finger, and it's bad enough that it needs surgery. As someone who's had surgery on one of my fingers, it's not a pretty sight. Believe it or not, I actually played a hockey game 2 weeks after that surgery, but clearly not at an NHL level, and that was probably a stupid thing I did while I was in college. Asinus.
Yeah, do you think that lined up with the doctor's recommendations?
They didn't tell me I couldn't. It was the day I got the stitches out.
Nice. Okay. Well, there you go. This is an interesting situation, certainly, because opportunities in the top six now will be opened up for some other players. We might see some more opportunities for Erod, for Nishushkin, Comfort potentially. They can secure those top six slots. Power play one pretty much assured for Nishushkin and Comfort moving forward. We also see Dennis Malgin getting a crack at the top six. We saw practice lines today that seemed to indicate he would be with Comfort and Nishushkin or Comfort and Rantanen. It didn't seem like Bednar had made a final decision about that. I think you'd like to get the Rantanen line if possible, but even with Comfort and Nishushkin, I think that's a pretty decent opportunity. Colorado can definitely pour on the goals as they did over the weekend. So, it is something that would, potentially open up a nice opportunity for Dennis Malgin. Not likely to get much in the way of power play, but he does have three goals in the last little stretch of games. And that's, not playing with anything close to, top six minutes. So, could be a nice opportunity for him. He was a nice prospect in Florida, and this is an opportunity for him to kind of step up on a little bit of a bigger stage.
One thing I'll caution with Malkin, though, is he is returning to play a road game against his former team in Toronto tomorrow, so it could just be coach kind of throwing him a bone. I tried to look at the lines after Lehkonen got hurt, and obviously with 11 forwards, it's a bit of a rotating cast. Seemed like Andrew Cogliano was getting a decent number of shifts up there. And just in general, I think that's going to rotate unless Malgin really seizes his opportunity. But if Erod or Nichushkin or Kampfer are available in any of your leagues, I'd be rushing to get them between the good playoff schedule, the power play potential, and just more need for them to score.
Yeah, for sure. I think that does open up some nice opportunity. Speaking of opportunities, I'm going to seize one right now. I haven't done this a ton because I don't know that it annoys you and Shams as much as it did Ben, but nice to be talking about a couple Michigan guys in Comfort and Cogliano. So always enjoy having the opportunity to rep some of those guys. If you're watching on Twitch, I've got my nice Michigan hoodie on, of course. All right, let's move on. We had a whole bunch of day-to-day injuries. Thomas Chabot went out during practice and did not play or is not likely to play. That game is probably puck dropped by this point. Other day-to-day guys include Ovechkin, Hyman, Morrissey, Stamkos. No real news on any of these guys. Some of it is probably just late season wear and tear. Stamkos, somebody mentioned in the Discord, I wish I had the name in front of me, but mentioned, was it Joe Bimbler maybe, who said that Stamkos has been below replacement level for like the last 18 games. So he might have had something that's been nagging him for a while. Now his owners will get a chance to put him on injured reserve and maybe leave him there for a while. Tampa's playoff position is pretty certain. I don't know why you would want to run Stamkos into the ground. The other thing of note, I think, from this, Morrissey, I imagine, will be back, although I will mention that Nate Schmidt has been having a nice little run. He has, I think, 4 points over the last four or five games. So that's a guy you might keep an eye on, I think, even when Morrissey comes back. Schmidt has only been getting some power play two time, and it hasn't been all that effective. So I think that Morrissey's return, I don't think, will affect him all that much. So if he's on a nice little run, that might be someone to keep an eye on. And then also for Chabot, my one kind of worry is, that Ottawa offense has been not so effective lately. Chabot was guilty once again of giving away a puck at the blue line that led to a shorthanded goal recently. Not the first time that's happened this season. I wonder if we worry a little bit about Jacob Chychrun giving Chabot the old Wally Pip. And while Chabot is out and injured, Chychrun steps in and is effective solo quarterbacking that power play. They did spend some time doing that together. But that might, if that reinvigorates Ottawa's offense, I wonder if the coach sticks with that setup. That would be a bummer for Shabbat owners. And maybe you think about leaving him in that IR slot if you don't have other moves to make, and you might have something a little more effective going on.
It's funny you should mention the Ottawa power play, because Brady Tkachuk just scored a power play goal assisted by Alex DeBrincat and Jake Sanderson.
Jake Sanderson. So that was someone that I looked to. As soon as I saw that Shabbat was injured, I thought, well, I might be able to do a one-for-one with Sanderson. So that's interesting. Do you happen to know if he's sharing that slot with Chychrun, or was he solo?
I do not know, but we can probably figure it out within the next couple minutes on this segment. I can look at ESPN.
Okay, let's do that. And while you do, let's see. I guess I'll talk about JG Pageau. It sounds like he is going to be back for the Islanders. That game hasn't started yet, so line is to be determined. Maybe not the most super fantasy important news, but probably a line two, power play two guy. You know, somebody who's nice to have on the ice, good for your goalies. I imagine you want to have Pageau in the lineup, so that's a nice one for you. And that's mostly what we have for injuries and outcheries. One interesting bit, while I give you a little bit more time to check out that lineup, a guy you might want to keep an eye on, not for this week, but for next week, especially, you know, maybe you're in a bye this week, or if you secure your matchup. Alex Chiasson has been back for the Red Wings. I'm a Red Wings fan, and I sort of forgot that he was even on the team. But he's been really finding some success once again as a power play specialist, like he did for stretches with Edmonton most recently. Again, the Wings only have those two games on busy nights this week. But he's got 2 goals, 2 assists in the last 3 games with the goals and one of the assists coming on the power play for the Wings. They've got 4 games next week, 2 against St. Louis and 1 against Philly. So there will definitely be some scoring opportunities there. So a deep cut, certainly, with Chiasson, but that might be an opportunity that someone might find valuable to jump on. Another guy I like that I am keeping my eye on for next week is Eetu Luostarinen. Another guy who's been productive lately, has a really bad schedule this week with 2 games on busy nights, but could give you a really nice run next week if you survive and advance.
I just finished checking the Jake Sanderson stats, and he was solo quarterbacking that first power play, maybe getting a bit of a glimpse into the long-term future of the Ottawa Senators.
Really interesting.
Yeah, it's. I'm surprised Chychrun isn't there, given that I think he was on it before Shabbat's injury. Backtracking to some of the other guys you mentioned, I'm not particularly worried about any of them missing a lot of games. It sounds like all of them are kind of day-to-day-ish. But then again, Philip Forsberg was also day-to-day, and he is still out 3 weeks later. I think the guy...
I heard his return is imminent.
Well...
By some definition of the word, anyway.
Yeah. I think the guy I have the most concern on, though, is actually Ovi. Maybe it's because I own him in 3 leagues, but he's older, the team's out of playoffs, they want to really conserve his health for any future runs the team has. The Caps have no reason to throw Ovi back out there if he's 90% instead of 100%.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. Now, I don't necessarily agree that there's no reason to send him out. I think definitely you don't want to risk his health, but he is a guy who is chasing a rather important record, and I think getting him games when you can makes a lot of sense, but I also understand taking a cautious approach if he's banged up. There's not a whole lot to play for Washington this season, so it makes sense, but the fan in me wants to see him go out there and score goals any chance that he gets. So, but that's a little selfish of me.
8-16, 2 more seasons, that's all he needs.
Yeah, I think that would be really exciting. And you were mentioning Washington even has the chance to potentially fall into a lottery pick and have a shot at Bedard. So who knows? Maybe he'll get a little unearned but fun extra help there. All right, we're going to head into a little break here. We'll get back to you on the other side. You're listening to Short Shifts. Welcome back to Short Shifts. As we head down the stretch here, you know, we've had a goalie situation that has been nothing if not chaotic over in Toronto. But we have hit a bit of a scold stretch here. Jeremy, what do you think? What do you think the best option for the Leafs moving forward into the playoffs and their quest to advance, you know, to a meaningful round of the playoffs? Who would you have as the starting goalie based on some of the recent performances?
Matt Murray has been pretty bad in his last five games, and I think because there was an injury in the middle of it, people may not realize he's actually given up four goals in each of his last five appearances. Three of those, I believe, were really bad starts, and his goals saved above average is -8 for those five games. Meanwhile, Samsonov has had a couple clunkers, but played really well for a long time while Murray was hurt. I have to imagine, like I said on the goalie section with Shams last Thursday, that it's probably a two-thirds, one-third split for Samsonov going forward, unless for some reason they think alternating goalies during the playoff is a viable strategy that no one else has tried before.
Right. Yeah, I would have to imagine that Samsonov gets that game one start. You know, unfortunate, certainly had some reasonably high hopes for Murray's performance, although actually I shouldn't say reasonably. They were pipe dream high hopes, maybe. But yeah, it just hasn't worked out lately. Definitely some struggles. So yeah, that's the position that they find themselves in. But yeah, I would definitely be guessing that we're going to see more Samsonov than Murray as we head into the end of the season there. So something to consider if you are one of those Murray owners, I would be watching game day goalies. You know, this is that time of year, especially in those one-year leagues where you got to be willing to make some brutal cuts. And that might be one that might be worth your while if they're only getting a few starts. A couple other goalies I want to mention. One played a pretty critical role. Elon was talking on Saturday about his likelihood of getting a shot in the consolation playoff to potentially hang on in tier two. Those hopes were dashed, not because of anything related to his players, but a goalie that he wanted me to bring up. Gustafson in Minnesota gave up five to the Coyotes, including the game-winning goal in overtime. And that was enough to create the space to let me slide into those consolation playoffs. So we're pouring one out for our buddy Elon. In all likelihood, we'll be joining him in tier three next season as well, so we can continue our fight back to the top together, hopefully not in the same league, because he is a tough out, I will tell you. But Gustafson with Fleury being announced to start the next game, and then a back-to-back, all that remains, only one start available to Gustafson this week. So a tough blow, certainly, if you are a Gustafson manager. He was having a nice little run. The other goalie I wanted to talk about was Tristan Jarry, who has been having some struggles of his own. We had some Twitter activity that suggested that perhaps he is struggling with some injuries, and that has contributed to his struggles of late. But really, yeah, it's just been tough, I think, for the Penguins in general. They are currently losing 5-4 to the Canadiens with 4 minutes to go in the third period. Not an ideal setup for them either. So, yeah, lots of interesting goalie stuff. Jeremy, you had a cold streak for a defenseman you wanted to bring up.
As I teased at the beginning of the show, I'm frustrated with another Hurricane currently. Shane Gostisbehere, I believe, just had his fifth game without a point, if he didn't have a point today. He started off blazing hot with his new team, but I noticed some red flags, specifically that he was playing kind of a split power play thing, and that his time on ice was down by almost 5 minutes from when he was with Arizona. He kind of switched into a true third-pairing defenseman. And honestly, the lack of points doesn't surprise me. I'm at the edge of my rope and about to drop him.
Yeah, I think it was an exciting move when he first came over, but he's, you know, not going to be able to keep up what he was doing when he first got over there. I think we got some of that, like, new team, you know, show it out kind of approach. But yeah, we weren't going to see that same level of success continue. And certainly Burns is the guy I think that you want running that power play, even though Ghost has shown that he can do it. A nice guy to have in terms of depth, but Not doing a whole lot for you fantasy-wise lately. Switching over to the other side, we've got a nice hot streak from another defenseman. This is one of those kind of non-actionable attaboys that we like to give. You're not going to be able to go out and grab this guy, but tell us what Miro Heiskanen has been up to lately.
In his last seven games, he has 12 points, which is aided by Dallas scoring 15 times in the last two games, I believe both against Seattle. Heiskanen is looking like the true number one defenseman on this team. He's playing 27, even 28 minutes on some nights, all the power play one time, taking 3+ shots a game. Keep this in mind in draft season next year. I think this may be a true coming out party where he's going to join the ranks of Adam Fox and Roman Josi in those top five rounds of your fantasy drafts.
Yeah, definitely an exciting outlook for him, especially, you know, I don't know how many more years Joe Pavelski can keep up some of that magic for them, but that top line just has been so good and so exciting lately. The Jamie Benaissance continues. He had 3 points during the last game. Stars have been very, very fun and very exciting for fantasy owners recently, and Heiskanen really joining in the party. It's nice to see. And one last person we want to bring up here, or a few people, sorry. Just as we're thinking about the schedule moving forward, you know, this show will release on Wednesday morning. You've got a Wednesday, Friday, Sunday schedule remaining for the Washington Capitals for the rest of the week. I don't know. We might have skipped over the stat. Where I know that they are about to drop unless things change significantly. They may indeed drop their sixth straight game without having Ovi. So obviously the Caps struggle without Ovechkin in the lineup this season, but with that lovely off day schedule that remains, we've got a hot line, that second line for the Caps of Dylan Strome, Sonny Milano, who was out on Tuesday with a non-COVID illness, and TJ Oshie. Oshie and Strome pretty widely available. Milano available almost everywhere, but obviously if he's going to be out, maybe don't worry about him right now. Before tonight's game, Dylan Strome had 7 points in the last four and 10 in the last seven. Line two, power play two is not all that exciting, but, you know, on a hot streak and available in a ton of leagues with that nice schedule remaining, Elon mentioned the Caps as being one of his teams that you would want to look at players for this week. And we can, you know, get the bulk of their games still. With, you know, by the time you hear this episode, Oshie is owned in a few more leagues, 36% rostered on Yahoo. The steadiest of the options and the one with power play one deployment, although that obviously takes a hit with Oshie out. He's got 10 points over the last 8 games prior to Tuesday night, 13 in the last 12, and has that power play one exposure. If you can't get Ovi exposure, at least you're getting some from the red hot Rasmus Sandin. So that's a pretty good setup too. I believe both Strome and Oshie have an assist in their game tonight, even though they are trailing the Rangers with about 5 minutes to go in the third. Some good options there for you. I would be keeping an eye out on those guys to round out your week, hopefully carry you through another round of the playoffs and into next week so that you can keep tuning in and getting some helpful advice from us. But until we reach that point, we are all set for this evening. Thank you so much for joining me, Jeremy, for another episode. Nice work, as always, and all the best in your playoff matchup. And thank you for joining us, for giving us a download. You can give us a follow at ShortShiftsKK, Brian and Elon at Keeping Carlson. Also recommend you follow at Game Day Lines, at Game Day Goalies, at Game Day News NHL, and at Game Day Stats NHL, which is a fun new offering that they've got, all organized nicely at GameDayTweets.com. Visit that site and the other great sites we use to research our episodes at Yahoo, Frozen Tools, and Natural Stat Trick. Our intro and outro music was created by Pat Roach. John Reed is our digital media producer. And until we see you next time, play smart and keep your shifts short.